morning. It's lovely to see you, socially distanced as we are. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Alan Taylor to lead our worship this morning. Without any further ado, I will hand us over to Alan. Thank you.
First of all, a gathering prayer. Let us pray. Into the mix of humanity, with friends and neighbours, visitors and strangers, together we join to worship you, O Lord our God. Amen. And so, welcome to worship on this last Sunday of September. You probably know this is all-age worship. But I did have a word with Dave Faulkner, and he suspected there might not be any young people here, but we will do something slightly different at one point this morning. Just one or two words about what we're going to do. We're going to have two hymns. They will be up on the screen. And if you could perhaps hum the tune, rather than sing it, that would be excellent. When we come to the opening prayer, there are responses, so if you could respond quietly to those, that would be excellent. And so our first hymn, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.
This is our God.
And so we come to our opening prayers, and this again, this will be up on the screen. And if you could respond, please, to the words in heavy type. I think they will be. So we come to pray, and at the end of our prayer there will be the Lord's Prayer, and we shall use the traditional Lord's Prayer this morning. And so let us pray. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God. In his hand are all the corners of the earth. The sea is his, and he made it. O come, let us worship and fall down. For he is the Lord our God. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. For he cometh to judge the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, as Jesus taught us, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're just going to have one reading this morning. It's a reading from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi.
This reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Thanks be to God.
Well, the first question I was going to ask this morning was if anybody had been in the Scouts or Cubs. Alan was. So good. Excellent. I was going to say, apart from Alan and myself, there are no men here. But you were in the Scouts, so.
Yes.
Excellent. And the Cubs?
Yep.
Excellent. I'll come back to you in a moment. Some of you perhaps were in the Guides and the Brownies. Anybody in the Guides and Brownies? Excellent. Quite a lot of people. Yeah. I was in neither of those, but I was in the Boys' Brigade. I joined the Boys' Brigade as a life boy. There were life boys in those days at the age of 6. And I went right through all the various departments of the Boys' Brigade, ending up as a staff sergeant at 18 before I went off to university. So 12 years in the Boys' Brigade. Of course, like I think the Scouts and the Guides, you work for badges. And I got a lot of badges. The only badge I didn't get was camping, because I managed in all those 12 years never to go to camp. It was something that never appealed to me, lying in a field, and I managed to avoid it. But I feel that I owe a real debt to, first of all, the leader of the Life Boys, somebody called Arthur Carr, and the captain of the Boys' Brigade, Jack Wadsworth, two men who devoted themselves, really, a lifetime of devotion to the Boys' Brigade. And I think, like me, hundreds of thousands of boys perhaps owe a great deal to their officers. So just to come back to the Scouts, first of all, the Scouts had a motto, Alan, which was...
Oh, now you're asking. No, I don't remember.
Okay. Anybody remember?
Be prepared.
I think that was the motto of the Scouts.
I remember this bit.
The promise.
Yes.
Do you remember the promise?
No.
The motto of the Boys' Brigade, of course, was sure and steadfast. And the hymn of the Boys' Brigade was, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" And the badge of the Boys' Brigade, of course, was an anchor. In terms of the Girl Guides, I think, was it the same promise? Was it the same motto? Be prepared?
Yeah. For the guides, yeah.
For the guides. And what about the Brownies?
Lend a hand.
Lend a hand. And I think in the Scouts, they had a particular week, usually, during the year, didn't they, Alan? When they were supposed to help people.
Bob and Job Week.
Bob and Job Week. People today might not know what a Bob was, but Bob and Job Week. And the Brownies, I think, were supposed to do a good deed every day. Is that right? Yeah. Were any of you leaders in the girls? You were.
Yeah.
Some people were leaders. Yes.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be reminded, isn't it, of those days, because I think all of us, either as members of those organisations or as officers of those organisations, realise how much they did for boys and for girls during many, many years. And that really is a kind of an introduction, because I didn't really expect there to be many young people here today. So it's an introduction to just a very short sermon. And the verse I want to concentrate on is one from the reading this morning, when Paul says to the people at the church in Philippi, "Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." And of course, he could well have been writing to the church at Naphill. "Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." And looking to others' interests instead of our own is a bit like sharing out cake. And as youngsters, when the cake was handed out, we probably looked at everyone else's portion to make sure no one received a bigger piece than ours. That was what we did. As adults, I suppose, we might look at other people's plates to make sure no one has a smaller piece than everyone else. But what about life beyond the meal table? Are we, or do we become, more concerned about justice for other people than justice for ourselves? You remember how Jesus turned upside down the Roman order of things. And I wonder what might happen if we turned upside down the normal order of doing things today. What would communities look like if we really did look out for others before ourselves? There are over 2 billion Christians in the world. 2 billion. What if each of those 2 billion people lived differently in order to make a difference? In the reading that we've just heard, Paul tells us that God is at work in us. And when we put our own ego first, it means that we have no room for anyone else's needs, because we're too full of our own. And parking our ego is hard. putting our ego on the back burner is hard. When we try to do it in our own strength. But God is at work in us, and he will help us. It's the difference between being egocentric and being mindful. It's the difference between living according to the flesh and living according to the Spirit. If we live according to the flesh, which is a phrase that Paul uses quite a lot, if we live according to the flesh, it means that we are inward-looking and self-centered and selfish. If, however, we live according to the Spirit, we are outward-looking, we are other people-centered, and we are selfless. Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And just one final brief thought to leave with you. During his briefing last Monday, the chief medical officer, Professor Chris Whitty, said, "You cannot, in an epidemic, just take your own risk. Unfortunately, you are taking a risk on behalf of everybody else. Look not to your own interests, but the interests of others." Amen. And so we come to our second hymn. In this hymn, there will be organ music and the words will be up on the screen. "May the mind of Christ, my Saviour." Not able to take the offertory today, so we'll just have a prayer for the offertory. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all your gifts to us. We thank you most of all, of course, for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for his Spirit amongst us, guiding and encouraging and supporting, being at our side. And so we ask that you will bless our offerings this morning, that they might be used for the extension of your kingdom and to help those in need, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our intercessions this morning are taken from a book written by John Pritchard, the former Bishop of Oxford. I have a funny story, really, about John Pritchard. A friend and I had gone to a conference in Oxford, and we had to go to a different venue for lunch, and on the way back it started to rain, and my friend put his umbrella up, and we walked back to the centre where the conference was. And as we got near the door of the conference hall, my friend put his umbrella down and was about to kind of shake it, and we saw that he was pinning the Bishop of Oxford to the wall with the tip of the umbrella. So that was my... It's the only time I've met the Bishop of Oxford. But he lived to tell the tale. So this prayer comes from his book, and it's entitled Somewhere Nearby. And it's a prayer for people who are nearby, not just nearby this church, but people who are nearby where you live, when you go home, people who in your own street or lane or avenue, people in your own community. And so let us pray. Today we pray for things happening very close to us, but often unseen, unnoticed, and unprayed for. In the face of this hidden world, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Somewhere near us at this moment, someone is ill and struggling to stay alive. Someone is struggling to keep their marriage together. Someone is struggling to resist a deep, familiar temptation. So let's pray for them in their struggle. Somewhere near us at this moment, a football match is underway. A couple are enjoying their new baby. A family are planning a holiday. A man is getting out his tools for today's do-it-yourself. So let's pray for them in their relaxation. Somewhere near us at this moment, the air is electric with a family argument. A young person is planning his or her next drug use. A woman with depression is weeping quietly. A man is feeling overwhelmed at the thought of work, or indeed the thought of no work, again tomorrow. And so let's pray for them in their dark places. Somewhere near us at this moment, a woman has just finished reading a book that delighted her. Someone is working on a wood carving. Someone is downloading digital photos of their grandchildren. And so let's pray for them in their creativity. Somewhere near us at this moment, God the Father is holding the world on course. God the Son is pulling together the wonderful raw material of human lives. God the Holy Spirit is energizing his holy and unholy people. Somewhere near us at this moment and every moment until we are here again next week, God will be lovingly present to every part of his creation and every person in it. And he'll be struggling with us and shaping us. He'll be encouraging us and persuading us. He'll be delighting in us and despairing over us. But he'll never give up. And because he's inexhaustible, in the end, he'll always succeed. Father, help us to trust you with your world, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so a final benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.